of God who gives us minds to think, hearts to love, and hands to serve. Amen.
Amen.
What a very great blessing it is for me to be with you all, St. Mark's, on this second Sunday in this holy season of Advent. It is a great blessing. Not only is the weather nice and beautiful here in Virginia this time of the year, but we are gathered again. It's welcome to the people online. We're back sort of in three dimensions, and I know that you all have been together some, but I, as the bishop, have just begun recently to go back out to our parishes to see all of you, and so it warms my heart to actually see people sitting in pews and us actually being able to touch and see each other. And it's especially also a blessing that when we confirm people into the Episcopal Church, and it's great to be able to confirm Penny and Lisa this morning. We had an opportunity to visit ahead of time. If a tree falls in the woods and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? I've always liked this little whimsical conundrum. I also like if a telephone rings in an empty room, does it make a sound? But I'm not as intrigued with this one about the phone, because basically I understand how a phone works. I mean, basically, and I'm fairly certain that that little computer rings even when I'm not around, unless I've silenced it. But I've spent a good bit of time deep in the mountain woods of Western North Carolina, and more in the woods and trails here in Virginia. And I'm not so sure exactly what is going on out there in the silence. I cannot say with any real confidence that I understand it. It does focus the mind when you're out there. Sound does strange things out there in the woods. Any of you who've spent time out there know what I mean. And that strangeness always affects me strongly. You've almost like, again, had those experiences. If you spend any time walking in the woods by yourself, if you speak to yourself out there, your voice sounds really small. And if you shout out, you know, unless there's some kind of an echo or something, if you shout out deep in the woods, the sound, you know, is quickly absorbed and you're left alone in silence. I find that silence both comforting and at other times, I must admit, a little bit disconcerting. Sometimes I'm worrying that something's going to get me. But more than anything, it's just the silence itself. And sometimes if you've been out there, if you're a camper and you're out there at night, it's especially a bit scary, especially as other sounds make their way into that silence. Still, I'm drawn to spend time out there more and more. John the Baptist's voice cried out in the wilderness. Surely he knew well the powerful silence of the desert wilderness. And from what we know about John, he was at home out there, right? His food and his clothes came from the wilderness. This John, this rangy prophet, must have experienced his prayers and his cries being swallowed up in the silence of that wilderness. What was going on with John out there in the wilderness? What was his journey like? What was his prayer life like? I wonder how many of you have a John the Baptist Christmas tree ornament. I do. I have one, and I hang it on the tree early on. I try to remind my children that it is that we celebrate Advent. That's one of the reasons I have the John the Baptist Christmas tree ornament, but I like it up there, you know, with the other signs and symbols of Christmas. It reminds us what is coming. Now, on this second Sunday of Advent, Luke's abrupt account of John the Baptist begins in a very interesting, significant way. It gets by us really quickly as we try to, as Willis does and I do, struggle over the pronunciation of these things, right? And we're not really sure how these things are supposed to be pronounced. We can look them up. But that piece gets by us real quick. Let's do it again. In the 15th year of the reign of the emperor, Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip was the ruler of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was the ruler of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. Now these, who are these people, right? They're all the political and religious leaders. Right? They're the money managers, the lawyers, the corporate CEOs, the bishops, the cathedral deans, the rectors of nice little parishes like this one. So before John the prophet tells us what's going on, Luke provides us with a list, right, of who's in charge of things, or who appears to be in charge of things. And then Luke tells us the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. That's it. What bursts forth into the world is a wilderness word, a word that is strange and unfamiliar. See, God does not announce the coming of his word to the White House or on Capitol Hill or the National Cathedral even. The opening of God's incarnate word is not announced on CNN, right, or in the Roanoke Times. And it's not, we should notice, even announced to the church. Right? The word of God, the news of the Messiah's coming, announces itself to this rangy loner prophet, John, in the wilderness. What Luke's gospel prepares us for in Advent is a, as Walter Brueggemann, good writer and theologian, called the wilderness word. The wilderness word. And it comes in an unpredictable place to an unpredictable messenger, precisely because the word of God is not predictable and it will not be domesticated as much as we might wish for it to be. See, this wilderness word becomes powerfully and gracefully alive in Jesus of Nazareth. And Luke tells us that all the leaders in positions of power could do nothing to stop the word of God being born out there in the wilderness. From this moment on, as we listen to the stories that advances through the Christmas season and through Epiphany and into Lent, Luke's gospel recounts how the politicians, the religious leaders, conspire to eliminate this wilderness word, right? It is inconvenient to the way that we've set things up. The way we've set things up too, right? First they take down John, and then they take down Jesus. We are not changing. Way out there in the wilderness, John cries out to us in this Advent season, to each one of us, to the church, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, because the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. See, Advent invites each one of us, as inheritors of this wilderness word, to spend some quiet time in our own, you know, individual wildernesses, waiting on God. Advent really invites us to accept the love of God and the grace-filled mercy of Christ that is already ours as those baptized into his name. This is what we prepare for, what we celebrate in this glorious season of the church's life. Just like being deep in the silence of the woods, this kind of preparation can be a little bit unsettling if we're honest with ourselves, because it requires spending some intentional alone time, you know, amidst all the hubbub of the season, praying over maybe even the rough and unattractive places of our lives, praying over where our priorities are, filtering out the distractions of our lives, which draw us away from God's abiding presence. God keeps trying to tell us how much he loves us. And we keep saying things like, don't distract me right now, God. I'm distracting myself with something else. So we must ask ourselves in Advent, am I willing to do some work, to spend some time in prayer on the various desert walking paths of my life? So prepare is about. Preparation requires us doing something, right? We come to this place of worship in order to be in the presence of God and Jesus Christ and to experience the presence of each other. And we gather around this table, right, to experience his grace. And the symbols of bread and wine mysteriously become for us his body, his blood. Strange. But my hunch is that we might not always be too sure what we are after each Sunday, right? We are not too sure what we want or if we want to venture too far out into the silence of being alone in this unpredictable wilderness with this unpredictable wilderness word that is God's. Perhaps we are fearful of what God might ask of us or of what God might give to us. We might not like some of the rough spots of our lives, but at least they're familiar, right? I know what happens this way. If you draw me out, God, something else might be required. So we might ask, do we really desire new birth in Advent? New birth in the coming of Christ to break into our lives, into the wildernesses of our lives in unpredictable ways. The year and a half of pandemic that we've all been through has unsettled our predictable patterns, right? It got forced on us. Things that we were used to doing, ways we were used to doing things have changed individually, corporately. Around this diocese, our church life has shifted. Questions become for us, what have we been learning? So it takes some time still to ask ourselves that. What have I learned? What have we learned? What ways need to be left behind? What needs to be carried forward? This morning, Lisa and Penny stand up in the bright light, the baptized life of Jesus Christ. Confirmation is the mature outward expression of a new life committed to Christ. And our baptismal promises confirm our love for God and push us out towards others in love. They provide us with focus, help us prioritize. So in just a moment, we will all reaffirm our own baptismal covenant. This is good Advent preparation, good focus. If you're wondering, what can I focus on, Bishop? What can I prepare for? Just turn back in the prayer book to the baptismal covenant. Because we will stand up, those being confirmed, proclaim the light in this world that seeks reconciliation over division, mercy over judgment, love over hate. In the midst of that baptismal covenant, we will make promises to God, and we will make promises to each other. I will stand up as brothers and sisters and promise to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. Promise to persevere in resisting any form of evil that threatens to wound any of God's children. We will promise to seek and serve our neighbors in Christ with love. We will promise to strive for justice and peace among all people. And we will promise to respect the dignity of every human being, everyone. The wilderness word in Christ Jesus is now active at this very moment. Is at work in the world. Just need to be silent and listen. The Holy Spirit is a transforming power that is radical and unpredictable. John cried out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This Advent, we prepare to celebrate again the incarnation of God's word into the world. Mary is pregnant, and so should we be. Are we expectant people? So if the word of God should fall anew this season in your life, will you be around to hear it and respond to it? If John's cry calls out in your heart this Advent, will it make a sound? As this community and this diocese begins to walk forward into this next year, hopefully leaving this pandemic behind. As we go forward in our gospel ministry, my prayer for you and for our diocese are just like Paul's word to the little church in Philippi. He prays, I pray that your love may overflow more and more to glory and praise of God.